Our reading this evening is from Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Please, God, heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. After that, the people left Hazeroth and encamped in the desert of Paran.
So it's complaints again. I was listening to 606 yesterday, and if you ever listen to that football phone-in program after a Saturday of football, you'll know that the teams that have done very well, their fans phone in and they say that everything's great. If their team has lost, and maybe they've lost several times, they phone in with lots of complaints. And someone was describing one of the teams that actually has a special grumble section in its supporter fan base. And there's something about being a football fan. Of course, Brighton fans had nothing to grumble about yesterday, apart from not having a clean sheet, perhaps. But sometimes, though, when things are not going so well, blame the referee, blame the manager, blame the players on the pitch, blame VAR and various other things, complaints. Are things that after a while begin to kind of grow and develop. Once people start to grumble and complain, it kind of catches on. It is infectious. If only a generous spirit was so infectious, but often it's not. Perhaps we ought to kind of sow great generosity rather than sow complaints. That would make a big difference, I think. And here it's a personal grumble, and we remember that Aaron and Miriam are the brother and sister of Moses. They're the older brother and sister of Moses. So here's Moses, their little brother, who is the leader of the nation, and they're having a grumble against him. And you kind of imagine the sibling rivalry of someone who's in charge and he's got a prominent brother and sister who don't like what he's doing. That's kind of a bit like Boris Johnson, Joe Johnson, and Rachel Johnson, isn't it? And the kind of public pronouncements that you have. So here's Miriam and Aaron, and they're complaining. And because of his wife, his Cushite wife, which they perceive to be, you know, not quite what God would have for Moses. And also, this kind of question of sibling rivalry. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. So there are complaints and there are comparisons. And again, sibling rivalry. Who is fastest? Who is smartest? Sibling rivalry, comparing one another. Hasn't God also spoken through us? You know, Moses is a special person, but what about us? Now, last week we saw in Numbers chapter 11 that when Moses was told that the Spirit had come upon not only the 70, but also come upon two people who were outside the camp, he said, instead of complaining about that, he said, I wish that all God's people were prophets. And that's a generous spirit, isn't it? Rather than saying, okay, 70 people were designated to be leaders and the Spirit of God fell upon them, what's the Holy Spirit doing working on those two people over there? No, he was generous. He felt that if God was going to work widely and more fully, well, that was okay with him. Of course, Miriam is one of the heroes of the Exodus. We see her singing and prophesying with her tambourine in Exodus 14 and 15. But Moses responds to this idea, you know, hasn't God spoken through us with a generous spirit? But notice that the Lord heard this. And I think we need to remember this with our conversations. The Lord hears it. Conversations that are just for you. Conversations in the ear, in a corner. The Lord hears this. And we need to be very careful, don't we, if we say something, that what we say is appropriate before God, honouring and pleasing to God. See, what Miriam and Aaron are saying is that Moses seems to be viewing prophecy as a kind of personal monopoly, that he's got the corner on speaking for God. And again, it's sibling rivalry. These two are perhaps chafing at the idea that Moses, their younger brother, has such a prominent role within the people of God. What's Moses's response? And here we've got a narrator's voiceover. These are the books of Moses, although Moses clearly didn't write every part of it, because the five books of Moses include a statement about the death of Moses. Someone obviously brought these books together at some point, and we have this word. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. It would be a bit embarrassing if Moses himself had written that. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, Moses heard the words of Miriam and Aaron, but there's no indication that Moses himself was troubled by what was said. There's no indication that he felt threatened by these words of his brother and sister, because he's humble, or literally unassuming. He's not competitive. He doesn't feel that he needs to justify himself. He is humble. And of course, this humility helps him to handle conflict and power. He's in authority over the people, and he experiences conflict, and here conflict from those who are near and dear to him. But he doesn't allow it to distract him. He doesn't allow it to cajole him into negative action, because he is humble. A really humble person doesn't think more of themselves than they ought. Humility is recognizing that ultimately everything that we have is a gift. It's not ultimately down to us. It's not an achievement. It is a gift. And Moses is humble in his relationship to Miriam and Aaron. Moses is not jealous. We saw it last week. We saw it when he said, if only all God's people were prophets. Something of my authority has been shared with the 70, now the 72. If only everybody had this experience. And of course, that statement, that kind of prayer, is something that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon all the church. And everyone who's a Christian now has the Holy Spirit working in them. Moses wanted it to be shared by everybody. And that's the wonder of being a Christian. Someone prayed this. Dear God, guard my heart from jealousy. I want to cultivate a heart of intercession for those with whom I work so that your word may be freely expressed through them. Amen. Now, there will be a moment in the next year or two when I look at someone who is the pastor of Lansing Town and I'll not be looking in the mirror. And humanly speaking, there is the sense that there are two worst-case scenarios. One scenario is that the person who comes is not doing a good job of it, and I think to myself, well, you know, if only I was still there. The other worst-case scenario, and possibly an even worst-case scenario, is that they're doing such a brilliant job that people think, why did we put up with John for so long? But we don't kind of get that attitude in Moses because he is humble. He is not a jealous person. He is humble before God. And humility is a really important part of making relationships work. If people are proud, it just messes so much stuff up. It messes our own head up and it messes up relationships between people. Pride is a great relationship buster. And therefore, like last week, we recognise that there needs to be an attitude adjustment, that Aaron and Miriam have to realise that their complaints are wrong, that they are toxic and unhelpful. Has the Lord only spoken through Moses? At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down with a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? There are people who speak prophetically, says the Lord, and I speak to them through visions and I speak to them through dreams. But Moses is in a really special category. I speak to him face to face. I speak to him with a particular clarity that is remarkable. You ought to be really grateful that he is your brother. You ought to be really grateful that he is doing the work that he's doing. You didn't ought to feel competition towards him, but you ought to feel real gratitude that God has spoken in this way. So what's revealed to them is the God's eye view, that there is something very special about truth revealed clearly revealed, revealed with authority. When God speaks in such a way that we think, yes, God has spoken, God has revealed himself to us, we ought to be very grateful indeed. Moses is the mouthpiece of the living God. As someone has said, Moses is not running his own mouth. God is running his mouth. Now, we've all heard people who seem to be running their own mouth. They say what they think. They say what first comes to mind. And it can be really embarrassing. It can be really unhelpful. But Moses was not running his own mouth. In fact, one of the big struggles he had when he first was called by God was, I can't speak. If a person feels as though they can't speak, and yet they speak the truth of God, God's doing something with that person, and God is doing something with their mouth. It's a remarkable thing, isn't it, that someone who felt they didn't have the ability to talk in public is the one who brings the commands of God to the people. In the way that Moses did. What a remarkable thing. The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from where the tent, above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had leprosy. Standing in the gap, what happens if your sister suddenly has this terrible skin disease and is excluded from the people? Well, Aaron stands in the gap, and he turns to his brother, the brother that he's been complaining against, and said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have foolishly committed. Do not let her be a stillborn infant coming from her mother's womb, with its flesh half eaten away. You see, we get the picture of a brother seeing his sister in a way that is kind of, you know, physically revolting. This was such a horrible condition that he desired that she might be free from it. And he turns to Moses. And I think it's interesting what he says. Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. And that's it, isn't it? When we mouth it off in complaining against others, we don't realise how foolish we often are and what folly we are producing. It's not until the consequences of our foolishness begins to unfold that we realise how foolish we are. If only we were wise before the event, if only we allowed wisdom to dictate what we say and how we respond, and not have to learn the hard way. If only we could learn the easier way. Learn, well, you know, this is going to get me and everybody else into trouble, and therefore maybe this might be better unsaid or said better. More graciously. And then Moses stands in the gap and he prays. He prays to the Lord, oh God, please help her. It's an amazingly brief prayer. I sometimes say on a Sunday morning, I encourage people to pray and don't be afraid if it's a brief prayer. This is a really brief prayer. Couldn't get much shorter. Maybe Moses is conscious of the fact that he's leading a whole group of people. And if he spends hours and hours and hours praying out loud for his sister, people are going to be thinking, well, aren't there other people that need prayer amongst these people? Oh God, please help her. Oh God, please help her. He's a sister. He's concerned about her. He prays for her. And God answers his prayer. Really striking thing that's said about this by the Lord to Moses. If her father had spat in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. The complaint had delayed the people. The complaint had held the people back. It kept them in limbo. The prayer is answered, and they're able to move on. They move on because presumably she has been made well. And it reminds me, really, that there is another standing in the gap. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that to spit in the face caused someone to be excluded from the camp for 7 days. When Jesus came to the earth, he looked a blind man in the face and spat in his eyes, and the man was able to see. She was excluded from the camp. She was on the outside in order that she might be ready to be brought back into the camp. Listen to these words that the writer of the Hebrews writes about Jesus. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Jesus using the spit in the face to heal, coming to the cross and being spat upon, going outside the camp in order that we, all of us who don't belong in the house of God, naturally speaking, might be brought back. That our dreadful condition, our dreadful sinful condition, might be forgiven, and that we might be able to know him. Jesus has stood in the gap. Moses' prayer is remarkable. It's a sign of his humility that he is praying for his sister who has complained against him that she might get better. That's true humility. That's Christ-like humility. Just like Jesus, who prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And when the healing had taken place, we read, the people left and encamped in the desert of Paran. That's one of the things we've been saying. Stay with the cloud. Stay with the cloud. Follow God's direction. Don't go your own way. Don't stand against God's servant. Don't stand against God's purposes. Go with the cloud. Listen to the word. What about this week then? What about this week as we seek to follow the cloud? How will we cope if someone complains at us? How will we cope if we experience sibling rivalry? Whether it be sibling rivalry in our family or sibling rivalry in the church, how will we cope? Will we be like Moses, more unassuming, humble than anyone on the face of the earth? It's a dramatic moment in the life of a family, dramatic moment in the life of the people of God. And Moses acting as he does brings health, wholeness, and healing. Let's pray together. Father God, we would pray that you'll help us to stay close to the cloud, stay close to your word and your wisdom and your direction. Pray that you'll help us to listen. We pray, Father, that we might be more ready to listen than to speak. We pray, Father, that you'll free us from the need to always have our say, always have the last word. Father God, if we're a brother or sister in a family or in the church, we pray that our attitude might be more like Moses than Miriam and Aaron. We don't want to spoil the peace, bring dishonor upon you, disrupt the momentum of God's people. Oh Lord, we pray that you help us to know that you're listening. And so speak appropriately. And Father, we thank you today that as Moses stood in the gap, so Jesus has stood in the gap for us. He deals with our uncleanness. He deals with our blindness, our exclusion, so that we might be welcomed by you, a gracious God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.